Now, in the final part of today's programme, I look at how the Czech publishing and literary scene turned the page after the Velvet Revolution and fall of communism in this week's edition of The Arts. The Velvet Revolution was, in many respects, about authors and words. Of course, there was the playwright dissident himself, Václav Havel, who came out of the shadows where he was put by the censors and persecution to lead the revolution that overthrew communism. Havel and other dissident writers were outside the state-controlled publishing system and had to rely on publication of their works abroad by publishing houses, mostly run by exiled Czechs, or at home as illegal samizdat versions. So it was no surprise that the impact of the revolution in the publishing and the literary world was fast and far-reaching. The carefully planned state system was ill-equipped to meet the demand for new books on everything from guidebooks to school textbooks and literary works not tainted by the recent past. One of the first to see the new opportunities was Jan Kanzelsberger, a bookshop manager under the state system. He jumped at the chance to realise his dreams of launching his own chain of bookshops that would adopt the best from the West. The family business has evolved into the biggest Czech chain of bookshops, with around 40 outlets around the country. His son Jan, now one of the top managers of the family firm, remembers the early days.
In 1990, there was practically overnight change for the whole system. Before 1990, there was a planned economics, so it means that there were a strictly limited number of state-owned enterprises. It was a strictly limited number of titles planned for months in advance. And practically overnight, there were possibility to set up own business as a publishing house and to publish any book you wanted and to sell it anyhow you wanted. So it means that practically within 1 year there was a change of number of publishers, beginning on, let's say, few, maybe 30, 34 publishing houses in Czechoslovakia, has changed within 1 year up to 3,000 of publishers practically overnight.
One of the first tasks of the new publishers was to meet the demand for those books that had been banned under communism. As Jan Kanzelsberger recalls, it was difficult to keep pace with the freedom frenzy.
There were huge amounts of copies sold. There was thousands and thousands of sold because there was a big hunger on such kind of literature, which was banned before 1990, and readers were hungry to read it and to get the books. So it was a big change within a very short period to switch on the new economics. Some of the publishers or the former state companies were not able to survive a very long period in this new time and new conditions. They were too fixed on planned economics that they cannot survive in the new style of free economics.
The demand for the forbidden fruit of the former regime's blacklisted authors continued for some time after the revolution, with what now appear to be astronomic sales figures being achieved. Jan Kanzelsberger recalls one trip to meet market demand.
I remember the first time my father, it was in the beginning of 1991, he was taking the van and traveling to Germany to exile publishing houses. He fulfilled the van of books. We stopped at the Wenceslas Square on the corner and we were selling practically directly from the van, and the van was sold out within a few hours. People were queuing and they were even not waiting. When we get the books inside of the bookshop, they were very crazy about to have such books. And within this year, the Czech publishing houses started to make a reprints of those exile publishings, because the exile publishing has a quite small print run of such a books. Of course, they were not prepared for have a big audience and big number of customers. So many of publishers started to, for example, book Černí baroni from Miroslav Švanderlík was one of the banned books. It was a humoristic book. And I think, as I remember, the first edition, first Czech free edition of this book was in 200,000 copies to be sold within 1 month or so, within a few weeks. It's, for example, it's the same amount of copies published of Harry Potter in Czech language. So it was, in that time, it was kind of Harry Potter.
Other changes were taking place as well. As well as the publishing business, the bookshop themselves began to be transformed. The communist-era sales counter operations, where an assistant would suggest what you select from the inaccessible stockroom, gave way to literary supermarkets where you filled your basket with the written word. Translated works from the West also began to become bestsellers and demanded a large part of the shelf length in the new-look bookshops. Under communism, foreign authors had been translated, even unlikely ones such as British author Evelyn Waugh, but not those who could represent an ideological challenge.
In a regular bookshop, we have one or two maximum bookshelves for Czech authors now, and about four, five or six bookshelves for the foreign authors translated into Czech language. So in the number of titles you can see this proportion, but if you look at the top bestsellers, you see that maybe half of the top bestsellers are the Czech authors or the books by Czech authors. So we have to say that there is not so much Czech authors in the market, because we are a very small market with limited number of inhabitants in Czech Republic, and we have to translate the books and absorb books from abroad. But Czech authors are very, very favorite, and if the Czech author is a good one and well accepted, it is it has a quite long tradition and their own readers who always buy his new book.
If anything, Jan Kanzelsberger detects something of a dilution of the foreign invasion over recent years. He says that in the mid-1990s, almost any fairly well-known Western author was almost guaranteed to notch up respectable sales on the Czech market. Now, only the big names, such as Dan Brown, will get that star reception. The biggest Czech grouping of writers, Obec spisovatelů, or the Community of Writers, numbers around 650 members. Some of them are big names, such as Ivan Klíma, but many are less well-known, and writing is something in addition to the day job. From his perspective upstream in the literary production line, Chairman Vladimír Krivánek does not doubt that the Velvet Revolution was the right step, but still feels that the initial hopes for something different have been shortchanged.
Já, kdybych to měl zhodnotit, já v každém případě si myslím.
If I had to evaluate all this, then I would have to say that the majority of us are convinced that the changes had to happen. Few of us would want to go back to the situation under the previous regime. The second thing is that we dreamed and imagined that this new world and state would be a bit different, and from time to time we are affected by a certain disappointment and disillusion. But I think this is a normal path.
Já si myslím, že to je normální chod.
Communist support for the literary world was generous, as long, of course, as you were willing to make compromises and toe the line. Mr. Krivánek says he did not seek to get his poems published in the 1970s because it was meaningless in the atmosphere of disillusion following the crushing of the Prague Spring in 1968. But he did get a collection of his works published at the end of the 1980s, when there was a thaw in the literary world and powerful party-backed Writers' Guild. While he does not regret the liquidation of the guild, Mr. Krivánek does feel that the removal of state support for writers went too far after the revolution.
Po tom 89. možná zbytečně zbavovali.
After 1989, perhaps we pointlessly gave up some of our economic benefits. Certainly the guild had to be dissolved because it was immoral, but I think they could have transferred a bit of their property. Instead, here we are set up as a civic association so that we could not be tarnished. So now we are clean, but poor.
Takže jsme čistí a chudí.
Mr. Krivánek describes the contemporary setup in the Czech Republic as pretty uncultured. He points out that there is not even a law in place calling for the state to support culture. Apart from that, he says the broader Czech literary scene is handicapped by serving a small, local language market in which writers struggle to get noticed on a broader stage. He maintains that there are a handful of contemporary Czech poets who would be global stars if they had been born in an English-speaking country. As well as this, he says the massive worldwide publishing industry seeks to push foreign bestsellers on the back of formidable marketing muscle.
Té náročnosti literatury v tom celku vám zbyde velmi málo.
As for demanding artistic literary work as a whole, there is not much of that left. It is often translations. We read translations and translate a lot. I have the impression sometimes that we often translate overrated bestsellers. I sometimes have the feeling we feed ourselves with the waste of U.S. culture. Unfortunately, that is how it is. Maybe it is not a popular thing to say, but whatever is regarded as an interesting title in the U.S. is translated here within a year. And backed up with massive marketing. That is the bestsellers. The overall choice is enormous, but it is also a bit false. 90% of the offer is low-level literary rubbish, factual works or second-rate historical novels and such like.
Řekněme faktu, nebo velmi pokleslé historické romány a tak dále.
With around 500 new titles appearing in Czech bookshops every day, the market has certainly turned a page in terms of quantity. But there are certainly those who would argue whether there has been a corresponding increase in quality.